This is David Hausman, and I'm here with Mr. Aung San Khan in Ulaanbaatar on the 1st of December 2009. Mr. Aung San Khan, have you agreed to be recorded for this interview?
Thank you.
Great. So I'd like to start by asking you some about your background and how you came to be Prime Minister and the jobs that brought you to that point and the jobs that you've had since.
I'm economist, and I'm graduated from Kyiv University, Ukraine, in 1978, and then I finished. Paruskaya aspirantura. It's I defeated the Doctor of Science in Russian Science Academy. It was in 1984. That time was time of changes. Maybe time of perestroika in former Soviet Union. Of course, it influenced on me. And when I finished with this study in 1987, and when I came to Mongolia, it was end of 80s and beginning of 90s. It was right time, time of changes maybe. And that time also I worked as a director of Macter Research Institute. It was very helpful to understand what happening in former socialist countries and in the world, and maybe what that time I started my political life. And first parliamentary election was held in 1990, and I was participated, and I won seat from a newly established party, Democratic Party, and I started with my political life. And that time was maybe a very enthusiastic time. New parliament was established. We worked on new draft of constitution, and that time I worked as a chairman of standing committee on economic policy in new parliament, and we did a lot of things, yeah, to start market reform in Mongolian economy, and to change whole face of society. And I remember we that time we first time in history of Mongolia we accepted the existence of private property, private ownership in Mongolia. It was a very unusual for society at that time. Since 1990 until 1992, we prepared society for privatization of state-owned enterprises. Started with privatization from livestock. That time, whole livestock belonged to the state, and we gave to private ownership. It was start of changes, maybe. And then in 1992, new parliament adopted a new constitution. And according to this constitution, we announced the new election, and election not only for parliament, for also for presidency. And in 1993, I worked as, since 1993, I worked as a chief of president's staff of first Mongolian president.
Yeah, Mr. Ochubov.
Yes. And I worked until 1996. Then also I participated in an election. At that time I headed the newly young parties in the election, and first time in Mongolia Democratic Parties won majority in the parliament, and as a head of coalition was nominated from this coalition as a prime minister. And until 1998, I worked as a prime minister. And we did a lot of things. So now it's difficult to remember. One of biggest issue was civil servant reform, and that time at the Prime Minister's office also worked a group of advisors, economic advisors. Happily this group, many very talented people vocal, and many of them studied in US and in Western countries, and the idea, the work were very helpful for me, and probably what I don't know, somewhere among them they raised what this idea to make civil servant reform. And that time, of course, before us, maybe there were many ways, and we studied experience of many countries, and among them we choose maybe New Zealand's reform experience was very attractive for us. First of all, country New Zealand almost had same condition as Mongolia had here, and we studied and we put maybe beginnings. Since already what many years passed, but still be not reach the goal.
So I wonder if I could ask you a bit about how the civil service was when you first arrived in office. What were some of the issues and challenges facing it then?
When I came to office, maybe that time before me, that time in UN group tried to help Mongolia to change what civil service, yeah, and they did also many starting points, but when we came to office, we also we had their work, and we maybe what we changed maybe direction of changes maybe, and that's why I would say this work done not only by our people, also it was done by people before us, and many people participated in this reform process.
And can you say a little more about the UN program and what it had tried to do, and how you changed direction?
It was a long time ago. don't remember. And you know, I know one point which almost totally changed the direction. You and people prepared one option, we accepted another option.
And what were some of the problems that you hoped that your civil service reform program would solve? What were some of the problems already in the civil service that you hoped your reform program might solve?
In our program?
In the civil service in Mongolia at the time, what were some of the biggest problems that you wanted to address?
Main problem was, you know, many people went from the state sector to private sector, and of course, you know, capacity of civil servants was increasingly dropped. It was also main problem, and problem was how to attract talented, experienced people into civil service. It was, I think, maybe one of biggest problem.
Any other problems?
Also, you know, civil service was untouched by, how to say, by it was very politicized, and maybe 100% of civil servants were people with old party identifications. It creates also many difficulties to change society. And also automatically many civil servants worked not for the state, for the own party. It was mentality, you know. Mentality from the past period. Of course, there was necessary to change with this situation.
And how did you go about choosing the plan that for civil service reform?
Sorry?
How did you go about formulating a plan for how to reform the civil service?
You ask very detailed things, and I told it happened a long time ago, and after so many things happened, not easy to remember what's very quickly, yeah. From that time, already what maybe more than 10 years passed, and I said we still not reach the goal. I'm saying because still civil service in Mongolia still politicized, still politicized. Maybe before we start, it was politicized by one party. Now it politicized by two big parties. Still, it creates problems for Mongolian society.
And I wonder if I could ask you how you formed a team to address these problems. How did you recruit the economic team that you mentioned earlier?
That time, you said financed economic policy support team at Prime Minister's office. It was also very helpful. This team always generated idea how to make reform, and they provided us with information what countries, in what countries, what reforms, are going on. What this US aid financed economic policy support team was very helpful.
And do you remember whether you considered options from other countries before deciding on the New Zealand ones, and which other options you considered?
Not what now in details I can't remember, but before us one option was prepared by UN expert and I remember one thing, we totally changed what this option, and we accepted what New Zealand's option.
And why was that?
Oh, that time we talked a lot of things. First, country like New Zealand made civil service civil servants can work as a private. Many people in private sector works for themselves, yeah. And the attractiveness of New Zealand's experience was almost the same. You can work in civil service, but you can work as a having what interest, private interest, and yeah. It was how to say. To put interest on private basis, and
to create incentives.
Create incentives like in private enterprises. Yeah, it was one of attractiveness.
And was there anyone in particular on your economic team who was the main driver behind these reforms?
I can name what my economic advisors. They was very helpful, especially Mr. Patbolt. He very well educated, and he had very wide range knowledge, and he was one of biggest pusher to make this kind of reforms, and also I would name what Bill Picalis, you know. I don't know now where he is working, I don't know, but he was he thinks in same direction as we think. It was very, very helpful.
Let me ask you a couple of questions now about how you built support for the reforms. This can be a difficult process in many places. What kinds of individuals and groups could you rely on to back up your proposals for civil service reform?
Of course, first, I will name my president that time. He was Mr. Chupat, and support from president's office, it was first thing, I think. And the second thing is support from majority in the parliament. That time, majority was our Democratic coalition. And to organize support from majority in the parliament, we sent a lot of members of parliament to see the New Zealand and to get information
and
in New Zealand, yeah.
Was it difficult to get the support of the majority of parliament, or were they?
I think it was not easy, not easy. That's why sent many of them to home country of these reforms.
And what were some of the other things you tried in order to gain their support?
Now, don't remember. Maybe did a lot of things, I think.
Any examples?
Also, you know, as a politician, I used situation, maybe. We started with maybe I worked as a prime minister in 1996. And in 1 year, we expected also new presidential election. And of course, majority, minority in the parliament want own candidacy to win. And I use also this situation to promote what this kind of reforms among majority, among minority.
Can you say a little more about that? How you use the prospect of the election to build support?
I told candidates to to write what to make what this kind of reforms in the presidential campaign program. And my advisors in the economic policy support team also provided candidates with this information. They used this information for voters, and through them also we get what public support, maybe.
And were those the Democratic Party candidates or also the MPRP candidates?
Of course, yes. I used was also this situation, political situation, that we expect in the presidential election. And through candidates also, I get what support.
And did candidates from both parties support?
From both parties. Yes.
What about?
It was for them. It was interesting also to make speech. You know.
So where did the opposition to the reforms come from? In Parliament, did it come from one party in particular or?
No. From everywhere, from majority, from minority, especially from majority is very difficult. And one time you can say our people, from other, another time you can. To get with support from own people, it's very, very hard work.
And what was the cause of the resistance to these reforms? Why were people in both the majority and the minority against them?
I think main problem, I think understandings. It's too new. It was too new question, new problem for Mongolians, for decision makers here. And for them, it was difficult to understand deeply. And I think maybe main problem, and maybe just personal problem, maybe also personal problems were maybe.
What sort of personal problems?
When we started even to send what some members of the parliament to New Zealand to see what the experience, yeah, and some people who was here, yeah, they demanded to see also what in New Zealand, and it creates also problem. It's just personal. Nobody wants to understand just from paper. Everybody wants to go to see what on soil, yeah. It was also it creates also big problem.
How did you go about dealing with problems like that?
We tried almost all I think almost we sent people who wanted to go to see almost. There was no other choice.
So you've mentioned both sending people to New Zealand to see the reforms and telling the presidential candidates about the reforms. Were there other strategies you used to build support for them?
One thing I have also to say, even we sent people to New Zealand, and even many of them when they came to Mongolia, they already had opposed opinion. Some people went to New Zealand not to see a good experience, no, also bad experience. It was also raised with problems, questions, and discussions. Maybe a little bit prolonged our planned work, you know. It was also an interesting situation.
Were there ways in which you used ideas from people who opposed parts of the reforms? Or did you persuade them all?
Sorry?
Were there ways in which you used ideas from people who opposed the reforms, or did you manage to persuade enough people to support them?
When people oppose, there easy way to leave them. For the work, it's good, not to work with opponents, work with people who actually supported. It's main strategy.
And so I asked this before, but let me go back and ask you again whether there were other things that you tried in addition to the trips and the information you gave presidential candidates, other strategies you used to build support.
Oh, that are many, not just what civil service reform, it was one question. Was also many question was, and I used with me, that time, you know, it's maybe a little bit different from this issue. Our intention was to eliminate import tax, and we also used what our presidents and through our president we got support of majority. Majority, in reality, doesn't want to eliminate import tax, but you know, politically, for them, it was necessary to support candidate for presidency, and there was no way to support. Through candidates, or you know, to eliminate import tax. And after presidential election, we delivered what draft law to eliminate import tax, and parliament adopted what this law. And Mongolia at that time became first country. Which eliminated import tax because Mongolia located just between two big nations, between two big markets, and our economy maybe 80-90% dependent on the import goods, and tax elimination, import tax elimination was some kind of booster of economic reforms. I used what also what remember what political situation what for this purpose. Concerning what not about reforms. Before when we started democracy in market reforms. You know, in old regime, we had one big organization. It's a state planning organization, state economic planning organization. It was big obstacle. And without elimination of this organization, it was difficult to go to make reform, you know, in early 90s. And that time it was difficult to say, okay, to eliminate what state planning organization. It was very difficult to say what. And if you say, okay, you said to eliminate what this organization, you lose what support from the people. And that time I worked as a chairman of standing committee of economic policy, and I choose different, very different strategy. I put people who, it's a very personal question, who can disorient this organization, especially we choose what people. Then we nominate we nominated as a chairman of planning committee. And he was not economist. He was absolutely, outsider. And when he started as a chairman of a planning committee, he totally, he made this organization dysfunction. We choose this kind of strategy to eliminate the old state structure.
Who was that?
It's a very personal question. That time we put on the head of planning organization, one microbial biolog who's a scientist, who's a very well-known doctor. He's microbiolog.
A microbiologist.
Yeah, microbiologist. And when he came to planning organization, all the influence of this planning organization was very significantly dropped, and it opened also a chance to make reform.
Thanks. Let me ask you again about civil service reform more specifically. Was it popular more broadly outside of Parliament, or was there significant opposition that you had to overcome in terms of popular support as well?
Now I don't remember the exact numbers, but maybe about 10, maybe 20% of active population maybe involved in interested in civil service, what happening in civil services, I said what it was necessary to get support from president, from majority, from minority, from parliament in whole, and also from governors in this provinces, also it was necessary to get support from someone's you know, it's an administrative unit in Mongolia. We have now more than 300 samoans in Mongolia, and they're very influential on local population.
And how did you go about getting support from governors and samoans?
That time we all governors of samoans, we called to Ulaanbaatar, and we organized big big conference, and it was first time in Mongolian history, first time all governors from every samoans were together in Ulaanbaatar. It was first time in Mongolia.
And when was that exactly?
It was in 1997, maybe. It was first time. Even today, I met many people who worked as a governor of Samoans. They always coming to me and saying, "No, it was so wonderful." It was, I think, helpful for reforms.
Can you say a little more about the conference and how long it lasted and how it was planned?
I don't remember details, but it, I remember there was a conference where we told them what we are doing and why we are doing, and then we organized seminar for them, and we gave a lot of information for them. I remember from Prime Minister's office, we gave a special present gift, and I remember I chose specially Russian hand watch. It's called Commandirske. That time very popular. It was very popular among what, especially governors of Samoans. It's just start of market reform, and today I'm meeting with some governors, they carrying over this watch, showing me.
So did governors end up supporting the civil service reform, or was there opposition from them even after that?
Emotionally, they were very supportive. Emotionally, because even conference was held, and first time they came, they many of them even maybe didn't see capital of country, and they emotionally very supportive.
So at the time when you were planning the civil service reform, was there a time when you sat down and planned the process and the order in which things would be done and who would be involved? And can you say more about how that happened?
It's very detailed, very detailed. I don't remember what every details, you know. Maybe in my room, maybe we sitting all together with my advisors, maybe with Bill Picales, maybe, and we also maybe we accepted what maybe paper on plan on the paper, and maybe nominated what list of questions, maybe list of works, and who was responsible everywhere behind, you know. We were right, maybe. It's very detailed.
In many places, civil service reform efforts are seen as necessary to get donor funding, and others in the government are less enthusiastic about them. Is anything like that, or was anything like that the case here?
You mean...
I guess, to what extent did donors set the priorities, and to what extent did your government set them?
No, I told, you know, economic policy support was very helpful, yeah? No, it was financed by, I remember, it, by USAID, yeah? And also, maybe we got also some help from other organizations from other countries, maybe. I don't remember from for what. I don't remember even I remember one time we asked George Soros to help. And I don't remember in what question.
So if you could go back and do this again, would there be any things you would do differently?
No, I think no. Because it's not my choice. It's time choice. That time, you know? First time, second situation. Every factor you pushed, you know, and you in certain space, we did in that space everything. And that's why I think.
And if you had the chance to write a handbook for people in positions similar to yours who are trying to put through civil service reform efforts in challenging environments, what kinds of topics would you consider most important, or what kinds of advice would you give to someone else?
In future?
Yeah. Someone in another country faced with a similar situation.
It's difficult. Many years passed, and you know, yeah. capacity building is very important. Very important. And at the same time, you know, maybe that time we fixed salary of civil servants, fixed, and even still in Mongolia, we have matrix. And we wrote what civil servant one, civil servant two, yeah, and accordingly what salary here and salary here, what the matrix we have. And maybe to fix what. To make what this kind of matrix of salaries is, it's a big problem. Maybe it's even it's not suitable in our thinking, maybe. We have to free. I don't know how to make it to free salaries. And now we fix it. It's you know, significantly drop the incentives of civil servants.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to add before we stop?
Thank you. Sorry, but I don't remember.
Well, thank you so much.